from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN leaders gather to discuss regional priority issues. Indonesia and Australia discuss cooperation on cyber security. Indonesia explores distribution of humanitarian aid to Gaza. Now the news in detail. The ASEAN Leaders Gathering, ALG, as one of the agendas at the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund World Bank Group IMFWBG 2018, will discuss regional priority issues, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani stated. At a press conference held after the coordination meeting of the National Committee of IMFWBG 2018 in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Sri Mulyani highlighted priority issues such as regional economic stability, investment in human resources, and digital economic development. The minister believes the issues are relevant to Indonesia's national agenda and interest in maintaining economic stability through comprehensive structural reforms to handle global, regional, and domestic challenges. Discussion of these priority issues is one of the efforts to showcase reform and economic power to encourage investment and trade cooperation. The ALG at the IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting invite ASEAN heads of state, Secretary General of the United Nations, World Bank President, and IMF Managing Director. According to the agenda, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend the meeting along with several leaders of ASEAN countries. The presence of these ASEAN leaders demonstrates the bloc's solid support to Indonesia as the host of the AMIMFWBG 2018. Indonesia explores the shipment of humanitarian assistance to Gaza through Rafah Gate, the only point of crossing between Egypt and Palestine. The Indonesian ambassador to Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, admitted that the embassy is working to get permission to send the humanitarian aid by coordinating with the government of Egypt and Palestine. Ambassador Helmi Fauzi recently said that the preparation of human rights distribution, such as medicines and foods, still continue to be conducted.
Saat ini kami sedang menjajaki bantuan kemanusiaan Indonesia untuk dikirim ke Gaza.
Currently, we are exploring Indonesia's humanitarian aid to be sent to Gaza. We have coordinated with the Egyptian Red Cross and coordinated with the Egyptian Foreign Ministry, as well as the Palestinian Embassy in Cairo. We are preparing to provide humanitarian aid to Gaza through the Rafah entrance gate, which is under Egyptian government control. Now, what kind of assistance prepared from Jakarta? We are ready to facilitate the shipment of humanitarian aid to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The Egyptian government dominantly occupied Rafah border crossing after military coup d'etat in 2013. This year, the government has confirmed to open the border during Ramadan. It is conducted to give opportunity to any party to distribute humanitarian aid, as well as to assist the residents in Gaza. Officials of Gaza Ministry of Health said that at least 100 people were injured in the demonstration of the Great March of Return on Friday, June 1st. The coordinating minister for political, legal and security affairs, Wiranto, had a discussion on Monday with the new Australian ambassador to Indonesia, Gary Quitlan, AO, about cooperation on cybersecurity. Minister Wiranto said cyber threats such as hacking continued to increase and the cases were becoming more complicated, so Indonesia needed to improve its cyber. So Indonesia needed to improve its cybersecurity capabilities. One way was to learn from other countries, such as Australia, to improve the capabilities of the National Cyber and Encryption Agency. The minister and the ambassador also discussed the two countries' efforts in combating and cutting off the financing of terrorism. Indonesia and Australia will also follow up on regional security cooperation against terrorism, which would involve the Philippines, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, and New Zealand. Two destroyer ships of the Japanese Marine Self-Defense Force, GMSDF, docked at Tanjung Priok Port in North Jakarta on Monday as part of the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations. The two GMSDF ships, Makinami and Kashima, would dock in Jakarta from June 4 to 8 and hold some engagement with locals, namely courtesy calls to Indonesian Navy's high-ranking officials and Mayor of North Jakarta, pay a tribute to Indonesia's Hero Cemetery, Kalibata, and hold a music concert. Rear Admiral Hiroyuki Izumi, the commander of the two fleets, noted during a welcoming ceremony at the Tanjung Priok port on Monday that he brought 600 personnel, including 191 young cadets who had just graduated from Japanese Marine Self-Defense Force GMSDF Academy. Aside from the commemorations visit, Izumi said that GSDMF holds a long-distance sailing annually to train the young cadets about global perspective and partnership. This year, they will be sailing through a distance of 31,000 miles. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati has pointed out four risks that could affect economic performance in 2019. Minister Sri Mulyani said in a working meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 11 to discuss the 2019 macroeconomic framework in Jakarta on Monday that the first risk was the trend of spending savings on consumption and the change in the patterns of consumption, which was not channeled into the real sector. The second risk was that investors could withhold direct investment because they were waiting for the election results. The third risk was that the normalization of monetary policy, not only in the U.S. and Europe, could affect investment performance in the financial sector. The U.S. tax policy is also a risk to the flow of funds to developing countries, including Indonesia. The fourth risk was the U.S. trade protectionism policy, which could impact on export performance. Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government was ready with mitigation measures, such as fiscal policies that encourage investment and competitiveness in order to realize quality growth. An analyst has called for closer cooperation between China and ASEAN in fighting terrorism in this region. Professor Zhang Qi from the Strategic Research Institute of the National Defense University, which is under the People's Liberation Army, PLA, said that waves of group extremists from the Middle East to Southeast Asia are growing, that this region is feared to become center of terrorist activities. Chinese-ASEAN cooperation has to be strengthened to face terrorism. The professor was quoted by the government official mass media as telling the Shangri-La Dialogue in Singapore. Zhang, who was a member of the Chinese delegation to the Shangri-La Dialogue, said that so far, China and ASEAN had carried out joint exercises in battling terrorism. According to Zhang, with the weak political development and economic condition, the region easily becomes a fertile ground of terrorism, capitalizing on the sensitive religious sentiment. And the last item, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said food price stability kept inflation low and under control at 0.21% in May 2018. Minister Sri Mulyani said inflation in May or in early Ramadan was relatively low compared within the same period in previous years. Therefore, she expressed appreciation for the coordination between the government and Bank Indonesia, which have succeeded so far in keeping the inflation at low level to maintain the purchasing power of the people. Minister Sri Mulyani said she hoped the inflation would remain low and under control until the end of this year, that the target of 3.5% year-on-year inflation would be reached this year. Listeners, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN leaders gathering to discuss regional priority issues. Indonesia and Australia discuss cooperation on cybersecurity. Indonesia explores distribution of humanitarian aid to Gaza. And listeners, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Common Views in Dealing with Radicalism in Campus. The arrest of three suspected terrorists at the State University of Rio campus on last Saturday showed that campus is no place free from thoughts or acts of radicalism. Institutions of higher education that graduate nation's young intellectuals seems increasingly exposed with individuals and radical groups. Even campus that may be far from interpretation or police supervision is now used by university students or alumni to launch the terrorist movement. They regard the campus as a safe place to carry out their mission. Some time ago, head of National Intelligence Agency Budi Gunawan at the Port Congress of the Band in Semarang on Saturday said that about 39% of college students had been exposed to radical understanding. He perceived that based on data, 24% of senior high school students and 23.3% of university students agree with jihad for the establishment of an Islamic State. This condition is very worrying because it threatens the sustainability of the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. The suspect terrorists with the name MNZ, along with two colleagues who were arrested in the State University of Rio campus, admitted assembling bombs in the campus because it is considered safe and unreachable from the police. In addition, he also claimed to assemble the explosive in campus because it's easy to get explosive from the laboratory. MNZ is also suspected of having links with the Nektar of Jemaah Ansarud Daulah JAD terror group that carried out the attack at Rio Regional Police Headquarters some time ago. He claimed to have received a bond order from the perpetrators of attack, the JAD network, is chaired by the defendant of Tamrin bomb case, Ahmad Abdurrahman. Ahmad is also the chairman of ISIS in Indonesia. JAD was established as an organization to support the Islamic Caliphate. This means that the extent and capability of MNZ with his friends should not be underestimated. However, the steps taken by the security apparatus Densus 88 and the Rio Police who enter the State University of Rio campus pose a strong protest from Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Fahri Hamzah through his Twitter account at Faryansa on Saturday at 9:40 p.m. Fahri said that Mr. Ed Jokowi, this should not be allowed to happen. If long barrel weapons enter the campus, we have returned to the Stone Age. Maybe you never became an activist, so you let this happen. This is a word with the students. Even Fahri also tagged Twitter account of President Joko Widodo at Jokowi, who called Kowi never became an activist. The actions taken by the security forces are correct because what they faced at the time was not a student demonstration or ordinary crime, but people who could endanger the lives of others. Thus, common views are needed to deal with radicalization or suspected terrorists in campus so that acts of terrorism that have occurred recently and killed dozens of lives can be eradicated across Indonesia. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with June 5th, 1967. The Six-Day Arab-Israeli War breaks out. The Six-Day War, also known as the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, is a war between Israel against the combined three Arab countries, namely Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, which also received active assistance from Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Algeria. The war lasted for 132 hours, 30 minutes, or less than 6 days. Only on the Syrian front alone, the war lasted for 6 full days. In May 1967, Egypt expelled the United Nations Emergency Force, or UNEF, of the Sinai Peninsula after had been patrolling there since 1957. Egypt prepared 1,000 tanks and 100,000 troops on the border and blockaded the Tyrant Strait against Israeli ships and summoned other Arab countries to unite against Israel. On June 5, 1967, Israel launched an attack on the Egyptian Air Force base for fear of an invasion by Egypt. Jordan then attacked West Jerusalem and Netanya. At the end of the war, Israel captured East Jerusalem, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights. The result of this war affects the geopolitics of the Middle East region to this day. Turning to June 5, 1972, the United Nations Conference on the Environment begins. The United Nations Conference on the Environment began on June the 5th until 16th, 1972 in Stockholm. In the conference, June the 5th was set as the World Environment Day, commemorated to raise global awareness of the need to take positive environmental action. World Environment Day is an important instrument used by the United Nations to raise awareness about the environment and promote political attention and action on global levels. As belonging to the whole community, this anniversary gives everyone the opportunity to be part of a global action and voicing protection of the planet, sustainable use of natural resources, and an environmentally friendly lifestyle. I'll end with June the 5th, 1975. The Suez Canal reopens after being closed for 8 years. The Six-Day War, precisely on June the 9th, 1967, Israel regained control of Suez. The Suez Canal was closed for transport from Egypt and from places on the border between Egypt and Israel. Israel established line of defense and drove the Sinai Peninsula. On the Yom Kippur War, on October 6, 1973, Suez was taken over by Egyptian forces. But in the end, Israel managed to make a counter-attack. And on October 16, 1973, Israel crossed Suez by making a bridge over the canal. At the end of the Yom Kippur War, even though Egypt lost militarily, it won diplomatically. Eventually, all the Suez Canal and Sinai Peninsula were back under Egyptian control. After being temporarily closed, the Suez Canal was then reopened to the public in 1975. Well, that was Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasi.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Here is our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's is Sanctity Day of Pancasila Must Begin Momentum to Unite the Nation. The Sanctity Day commemoration at Pancasila, set every June 1st, should be used as a moment of reminder, moment of spur, and moment of actualization of Pancasila's values. This was stated by President Joko Widodo at Gedung Pancasila, Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on last Friday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Even the President asked Indonesian citizens to make the Sanctity Day of Pancasila as an effort to build the nation, and invite the ulama and all stakeholders to practice the values of Pancasila. In addition, President Joko Widodo also stated that Indonesia, as one of plural countries consisting of various tribes and religions, is open color with intolerance issue. Therefore, he views that Pancasila needs implementing to deal with the issue. He also pointed out that any country in the world will always proceed to become plural society. Very often, this plurality is also overshadowed by the risk of intolerance, disunity, and lack of cooperation. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said that it is the right time for Indonesians to share their experiences in Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity, in tolerating, and in building unity and togetherness. He also called for all components of the nation to jointly practice Pancasila in their daily life. The president emphasized that the united spirit of sharing and achievement will confirm the state of Indonesian nation towards a developed and glorious country. Meanwhile, Deputy Speaker of People Consular Assembly (PR) Muhaimin Iskandar, as quoted from Antara News Agency, called for Indonesian people to use the momentum of the Pancasila Sanctity Day, June 1st, to be a means of improving the unity of the nation. He also affirmed that the Pancasila Sanctity Day should be a momentum for the Indonesian nation to unite, cooperate, and enhance unity. On the same occasion, Chairman of the Pancasila Ideology Development Agency, Yudi Latif, said that this year, the Pancasila Sanctity Day is special because it coincides with the political year, Ramadan, and the Asian Games sport event. He hoped that people can grow a sense of unity, sharing, and solidity. He also appealed to the difference of choice in the society not to cause disunity. Yudi Latif hoped that the community will remain in the spirit of unity. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. The ASEAN Leaders Gathering ALG is one of the agendas at the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund World Bank Group 2018 will discuss regional priority issues, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani stated. At a press conference held after the coordination meeting of the National Committee of IMF WBG 2018 in Jakarta on Monday, Minister Sri Mulyani highlighted priority issues such as regional economic stability, investment in human resources, and digital economic development. Indonesia explores the shipment of humanitarian assistance to Gaza through Rafah Gate, the only point of crossing between Egypt and Palestine. The Indonesian ambassador to Cairo, Helmi Fauzi, admitted that the embassy is working to get permission to send the humanitarian aid by coordinating with the government of Egypt and Palestine. Ambassador Helmi Fauzi recently said that preparation of human rights distribution, such as medicines and food, still continue to be conducted. The coordinating minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Wiranto, had a discussion on Monday with the new Australian ambassador to Indonesia, Gary Quinlan AO, about cooperation on cybersecurity. Minister Wiranto said cyber threats such as hacking continued to increase and the cases were becoming more complicated. two destroyer ships of the Japanese Marine Self-Defense Force, JMSDF, docked at Tanjung Priok Port in North Jakarta on Monday as part of the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations. The two JMSDF ships, Makinami and Kashima, would dock in Jakarta from June the 4th to 8th and hold some engagement with locals, namely courtesy calls to Indonesian Navy's high-ranking officials and mayor of North Jakarta, pay a tribute to Indonesia's hero cemetery, Kalibata, and hold a music concert. The Finance Minister, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, has pointed out four risks that could affect economic performance in 2019. Minister Sri Mulyani said in a working meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 11 to discuss the 2019 macroeconomic framework in Jakarta on Monday. An analyst has called for closer cooperation between China and ASEAN in fighting terrorism in this region. Professor Zhang Qi from the Strategy Research Institute of the National Defense University, which is under the People's Liberation Army, said that the waves of groups extremists from Middle East to Southeast Asia are growing, that this region is feared to become center of terrorist activities. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said food price stability kept inflation low and under control at 0.21% in May 2018. And listeners, that was News in Brief.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu. Semangatmu tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema, maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi
Show!
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Bapongka, a marine fishing tradition of Bajo tribe. Stay tuned! Listener, Bajo is an inseparable ethnicity with the sea. Bajo community residence is very unique. Most of their houses are built on the water. In the past, they even lived in boats or lepa. Currently, Bajo people have spread throughout the archipelago, mostly in Sulawesi. There is one tradition of fishing that Bajo community usually do, which requires them to travel long distance. The tradition called Bapongka. Bapongka is a Bajo community tradition that uses traditional equipment and keeps the marine environment from damage. Listener, Bapongka is sailing tradition for a living survive or to get sea products to another region or province for several weeks and even months. They went to sea in groups. Each group consists of 3 to 5 boats. Each boat consists of one person. The formation of small group of Bapongka is done based on closeness. Usually, the small group will meet each other in a fishing location, then form a large group consists of 15 or even 20 boats. Listener, the traditional boat called lepa, which is equipped with outrigger and roof made of sago leaves. Generally, the boats are run with oars, although the boats are now equipped kantinting machine. During the fishermen perform Bapongka, they brought quite a lot of foodstuffs, such as sago and some equipments, such as Petromax lamps, water containers, cooking and eating utensils, sleeping gear, and catching equipment for sea cucumbers and other marine products. Listener, Bapongka tradition has a good impact for marine conservation, especially coral reef, because it only using simple equipment. In performing the Bapongka tradition, Bajo community have some taboos that must be obeyed. The prohibition for Bajo people is believed to affecting the catch, such as not to throw something at sea when doing Bapongka. They should not dispose rice washing water, cooking charcoal, coffee grounds, chili water, ginger water, orange peel, kitchen ash into the sea. When washing the rice, the water put on the boat and will be shed after approaching the mainland. Likewise with wood charcoal used cooking, ash kitchen, orange peel, chili water, and ginger water. Listener, the simplicity of boats and equipments as well as the prohibitions that should not be violated because it is believed to be a disaster. While Bajo community also believe the sea has a ruler in the form of spirit called Mbo. All things make the Bapongka tradition of Bajo community highly appreciate and preserve the nature as their local wisdom. Listener, that was the regular segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Bapongka, a marine fishing tradition of Bajo tribe. We will meet again tomorrow in other interesting topics. I'm Putri Savitri Ardela. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio that introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Guidance and Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Silakan Masuk, or in English, Please Come In. I will give you an example of a conversation on Silakan Masuk, or in English, Please Come In. Joko meets Tony and introduces his wife Dinda to Tony. Joko invites Tony to drink coffee that has been prepared. Joko, silakan minum kopinya. Tony, terima kasih. Enak. Joko, ya, itu kopi luwak. Tony, kamu tidak minum? Joko, saya sedang puasa. Johnny, oh maaf. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to the theme of the day, which is Silakan Masuk, or in English, Please Come In. I will say the words or phrases 2 times and you may repeat after me. Kopi, kopi, which means coffee. Silakan minum kopinya. Silakan minum kopinya, which means please drink the coffee. Enak, enak. In English, good. Itu kopi luwak. Itu kopi luwak. Which means that's sifat coffee. Kamu tidak minum. Kamu tidak minum. Which means you don't drink. Saya sedang puasa. Saya sedang puasa. Which means I am fasting. Invite others to do something in Indonesian is silakan, silakan, which means please, more or less. Some examples of its use in situation of receiving guests, silakan minum kopinya, silakan minum kopinya, which means please drink the coffee. Silakan masuk, which means please come in. Silakan duduk, which means please sit down. When you are welcome to be something but you do not want or cannot do it, you can politely decline. Example, silakan masuk, or please come in. Maaf, di sini saja, saya hanya sebentar. Maaf, di sini saja, saya hanya sebentar, which means, sorry, here is okay, I'll be just a moment. Examples in other situations, silakan coba kuenya. Silakan coba kuenya, which means please try the cake. Maaf, saya sedang puasa. Maaf, saya sedang puasa, which means sorry, I'm fasting. Currently, Muslims in Indonesia and around the world are fasting, that is, not to eat and drink from sunrise to sunset. In Indonesia, fasting time is approximately 12 hours. Fasting is done for one full month, and the month of fasting is also called the month of Ramadan. Music. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation example once more. silakan minum kopinya. Terima kasih. Enak. Ya, itu kopi luwak. Kamu tidak minum? Saya sedang puasa. Oh, maaf. After listening to the above conversation, silakan masuk. Silakan masuk, which means please come in. I will provide some exercise which of course relates to the words learned. The exercise this time is to describe your home by mentioning the address, the color of the house, the number of floors if more than one, and something around the house such as trees, fences, or anything else. Example, alamat rumah saya adalah Jalan Jambu nomor 4. Warna rumah saya putih dengan pagar berwarna hitam. Rumah saya mempunyai 2 lantai. Di depan rumah saya ada pohon mangga. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia this time. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those of you who want to learn Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language. For practice, send your voice recording in Indonesian to email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be some attracts for lucky senders. Winners will be announced in November 2018. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present pop songs from Aceh region. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Bungong Jempa by Ozi Saputra and Cut Yanti. Happy listening.
Bungong Jempa, Bungong Jempa, Mega Bungong terbe terbe indahlah goina, bungong jempa bungong jempa megah di Aceh, bungong terbe terbe indahlah goina, putih kuning menjambu mirang bungong si tula indahlah. Lam sinar bulan, angin berayun, lurung mesusun, mesusun, dan malam-malam. Lam sinar bulan, lam sinar bulan, angin berayun, lurung mesusun, mesusun, dan malam-malam. Kebitak nube, menyotak temco, lepas tak indah lagu ini.
dan sinar bulan, angin berayun, lurah mesusun mesusun yang malam malam, kebidan mende menyota tencon, lepatan harum sibuk mengjempa, kebidan mende menyota tencon.
The song Bungong Jempa is one of the popular songs from Aceh. Not only popular among the people of Aceh, but also in Indonesia, even abroad. This song is often dedicated as a dance accompaniment in various national and international events. The song was performed by Ozi Saputra and Cut Yanti, two Indonesian singers from Aceh. A mixture of traditional and modern music makes the song even more enjoyable to listen. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cut Nyadin, dedicated by Cut Yanti.
Seramu Mekah di perang penjajah, Han sampo hatenyo tak kalo nanggu, tano gedangnya mesin badara. Terima kasih.
The song Jut Nyak Din tells about admiration of the Aceh people about the struggle of their hero, Jut Nyak Din. With her capabilities and effort, she participated and defended the land of Aceh from the pressure of the invaders. Her spirit and her struggle deserve to be emulated. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Rumah Aceh by Andre Iskandar and Gombira Dance by Ozi Saputra. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Bandung.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.